For the past few weeks, I've been particularly blessed each morning by a visual feast. Driving onto campus as at that time of day when the sun was just about to make its entrance. As I'd pass the Luther statue, I'd see the silhouettes of all the buildings, with the chapel, of course, soaring high above everything. And just behind the buildings was the quickly brightening horizon. Day was just about to break, but not quite yet. Today, as we observe a special day in the life of the church, we're reminded of the saints, both living and departed. It's easy, of course, to focus on those brothers and sisters who have departed this life, those who have fought the good fight, who have finished the race, who've kept the faith. But this is your day, too. You have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. You've stood at his altar to be fed the bread of life. The word of God has been placed into your ears. It's on your lips as you, together with all the saints, declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To use the language of modern-day evangelicalism, as Dr. Rast always does, you're saved. Or perhaps better to use the language in today's gospel, you are blessed. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has long held fascination for Christians. It's been the subject of a host of interpretations and even full-length books, as one of my colleagues will happily attest and urge you to buy. Perhaps part of the fascination has to do with Jesus' language of, you know, yet, but not quite yet. Like that day of break that I've been experiencing each morning. Jesus speaks about what it is to be a member of his body in this life, and yet he holds out an even greater reality in the life to come. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In light of the recent economic downturn, well, we're probably all feeling a little poorer these days. But if you ask who are the poor in spirit that Jesus speaks of, the answer is simple. All of us. Whether we want to admit it or not, we have nothing to offer God, nothing that we can give him. We're familiar with those words of Luther, we're all beggars before God. Yet what does Jesus say about these beggars who recognize their sorry state? He says that they're blessed, that the kingdom of heaven is theirs, present tense reality, it's theirs now, but not quite yet. For in this life where Satan continues to wage his futile battle, the believer finds himself continually beset by the consequences of sin. That's why Jesus goes on in this sermon to talk about those who mourn, about those who are lowly, about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we struggle in this life, our Lord promises wondrous blessings to come. To those who mourn, they will find comfort. The lowly will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, will be satisfied. We haven't time to begin to do justice to what Jesus offers us here. Certainly when he speaks of mourning, he has something greater in mind than the mourning that we experience at the death of a loved one, as great as that sorrow will be. This is a mourning caused by sorrow for sin, the heartaches and betrayals that the believer experiences in this life. The promise is clear, Jesus says, you will be comforted. We heard it in our first reading, the promise for those saints who there stand before the throne. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And the same is promised regarding those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again from that first reading, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. And for good measure, he adds, the sun will not strike them by day, nor any scorching heat. So why is this? How can we live with such confidence? The answer, of course, is Jesus. If anyone was ever poor in spirit, it was Jesus who emptied himself for you. If there was ever anyone who mourned over our fallen state, who was it but Jesus? Remember how he mourned and cried and wept over Jerusalem? No one has hungered and thirsted more for your salvation than Jesus, who fasted in the wilderness as he began to carry the burdens of your sins, who cried out in thirst from the cross, desiring your salvation. Because the Lord walked that road to Calvary in your place, you will receive his richest blessings in full. But you've already begun to taste the goodness of the Lord right now, in this life. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Remember, present tense reality, meaning that Jesus has already begun his reign of mercy and grace in your life. That can't happen without affecting who you are and the life you live. So we return to our text to listen to just one description of what this new life in Christ will be like. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." A rapid review of the 2,000-year history of the church in this world indeed shows that Jesus' words are true, that his followers show mercy. It was Christians, for example, who established the first hospitals. Christians who truly showed how to care for the poor, for the lowly, for the hungry, for the widows and orphans, the elderly. It was even the Christian church who helped a pagan world to extend mercy to those still in the womb. We're not perfect at it, that's for sure. Yet our Lord reminds us that being united to him, having received the mercy that is his to give us, we cannot help but show mercy as well. And to those who are merciful, the promise is sure. They will receive mercy in this life, but also in the world to come. The last beatitude provides us a rather sobering perspective. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Know this. Persecution comes in many forms. Not all Christians are persecuted to the same degree. And you don't get to choose your persecutions. You're simply called to be faithful, to cling to Christ and his promises. Our annual remembrance of the faithful departed certainly gives us encouragement to do just that. Whether it's a parent, a spouse, a child, or another loved one whom we remember, we know the heartaches, the challenges, the trials that they endured. Yet we give thanks to God for their faithfulness, for the endurance he granted them until the end. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus says. The battles that are endured, the ones that you even endure right now, these are not your battles to fight alone. As Jesus says, so were the prophets persecuted, and the apostles, all the saints of old, and your fellow Christians, even now. So rejoice and be glad. This is your invitation that the Lord offers you at this very moment. For at this altar here in Cramer Chapel are not gathered just a few hundred souls. It's the whole host of heaven. All those who are living and departed, the redeemed from every age, worshiping that Lamb whose reign has already begun. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.